produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. The beautiful and progressive city of Portland, Oregon, plays host to the annual Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards, where qualified medical patients judge over 200 strains of medical marijuana. The awards are also an open event that allows patients and the public to discover medical marijuana and speak with cultivation experts as well as doctors and other patients. The awards were held last weekend, and joining us today for a roundup of the happenings in Portland is Oregon Normal's Executive Director, Madeline Martinez. Madeline, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Wonderful to have you back here on the Audio Stash. Madeline, first tell us, who was the winner of the top strain this year?
The best strain was won by Medicine Woman. First place, Medicine Woman, from a gentleman who won last year for Dynamite, David Verstappen.
And does experience in cultivation really prove its value when attempting to create the best strains?
Well, it certainly does, and one of the things that we're really finding out from the entrants is that the strain, the genetics of the strain, is really what the importance is, because different people can submit different, you know, various strains, but the best one seems to be coming up what genetics you're using. And these genetics were something that was created here in Oregon.
And Madeline, how was the public event? How many folks came out to learn about the best medical cannabis Oregon has to offer?
Well, we figure about 500 came through. We got about, you know, 300 steady, and it turned out to be a wonderful event. Patients learned so much, and we had just an assortment of different vendors. Unfortunately, our doctor took ill with the flu that's going around, so he didn't get to make that presentation. But we had great presentations from EnviroFuel, which is recycling of vegetable oil for fuel, and they're from Corvallis, Oregon. We had a bunch of great vendors, Hempress Arise, Herbage Design, and the judges were quite pleased. Our dinner went really well in our award ceremony, and Dr. David Dodge won the Dr. Rick Baer Award for Courage Under Fire as one of the doctors that, you know, signs here in Oregon.
Are doctors still under scrutiny, even with the medical cannabis laws there?
Well, yes, they are. And I just got an update yesterday from the Department of Human Services that we now have over 2,000 doctors, almost 2,436 doctors are now signing in the state of Oregon.
So it really does take a great deal of courage on the part of doctors there. I'm sure those who do write medical cannabis recommendations are only a fraction of the doctors who could do so.
Well, yes, it is. And that's the courage that we speak to when we, Dr. Rick Baer is the father of the OMA, and my, you know, that's what I've named him. He actually is the chief petitioner. He went out and a petition for the OMA to pass, and so we give this award in his name for the courage that he showed. Knowing no bounds, he'll stay up late writing papers to get patients out of court on different issues. You know, we're still being attacked in the state of Oregon by the governor's council right now, the domino effect. It is the governor's council is suggesting that our fees should go up, instead of paying the $100 now, and we're hoping that they will not make indigent patients pay more than the $20 that we have all advised them to continue to allow them to pay. So we're struggling.
And Madeline, what are those fees for? How does that work?
Those fees are for our program. We have a self-funded program in the state of Oregon, which does not cost taxpayers any money. And what happened last session, I mentioned to you, House Bill 5077 took 912,000 $100,000 from our program. It's surplus money, and put it into, as I said, we've made history because it's the first time in the history of the United States that medical marijuana has actually funded human services.
That's amazing, Madeline. It really sounds like an almost legislative utopia where patients get medical marijuana and then the state gets a huge amount of money put into its general coffers.
Right, and the thing of it is we have no access to medicine. The only thing that we provide, Oregon Normal, provides safe access to excess once a month. But there's no place like in California where you can go purchase marijuana. It is illegal in the state of Oregon to exchange marijuana for consideration as part of our program.
And did you see many new patients at the awards learning about medical marijuana for the first time?
We saw many new patients. We had some writers from Willamette Week, our local paper. We had the Oregonian there, and we had a lot of new patients, some people that were 65 and 70 years old coming through to learn about it because they're thinking, this could replace my pain medicine, and I can actually have a quality of life. And, you know, last time you asked me about some of the conditions that patients qualify for, and we kind of skipped over that, and glaucoma, cancer, AIDS, HIV, you know, wasting disease, cachexia, and there's so many conditions that it helps here, and of course we'd like to add further conditions.
Madeline, you mentioned 60 to 70-year-olds coming in as new patients. Does it surprise you that folks from that generation are exploring medical marijuana, even perhaps never having had any experience with pot before in their lives?
Well, no, it doesn't surprise me at all, because they have seen and lived through the lies that our government has actually put out there, and they've seen it. They see how it helps people, and they're wise enough to know that it's safer than any pharmaceutical that they could possibly take. And because of that, we see them coming to us and seeking this help, and that's what we want to be there for, those immediate need patients, such as people that are diagnosed with cancer.
And do people mention that they're exploring medical marijuana because of the traditional healthcare and pharmaceuticals becoming just so incredibly expensive and marijuana offering a more affordable alternative out there?
Sure. Many people say that they can't afford their pharmaceuticals. And in this day and age where seniors are actually choosing between food and pharmaceuticals, it's a tragedy, but yet it can be hope. It's given these people so much hope that they can have a garden, that they can actually, you know, have someone take care of it. And, of course, as I mentioned before, we're pushing for a state garden that would provide safe access to the excess.
Madeline, tell us again how that state garden program could work.
Well, we're hoping to start with a pilot program that would help the 30% of indigent patients and immediate need patients, that is anyone who is just diagnosed, anyone who gardens can be taken down by mold, mites, any number of things. Your lights can go off, you know. We're waiting for a big storm this weekend, and we're hoping no problems with our lights happen, because it can really be disastrous at some point if it's off for 3 or 4 days, you know, at a time. So what we're hoping is to provide that safety net for patients, and it would work through a pilot program, which we hope to link to one of the universities.
You mentioned the environmental fuels setup, and I know environmental awareness is also a big part of Portland culture there.
Well, EnviroFuel was presenting on their topic on vegetable oil, and unfortunately our biodiesel guy didn't make it in time, but we had a lot of information about biodiesel. We had the Green Party there, of course, because they're just full of vote hemp and Green Party information. We kind of melded it all together, and yes, there was so much information on hemp fuel, you know, as far as brochures and that kind of stuff. We're trying to get the hemp fuel car out here for the spring, we hope. We're having a big Million Marijuana March for Cinco de Mayo right here in downtown Portland, and we just confirmed with Los Marihuanos to come and sing our song. They actually wrote it after our little saying, which is relax it and tax it, and they did a rap to it, so it's really quite exciting.
Madeline, I think I said this last time, but it's really so striking how so much community really happens around Oregon Normal.
Well, it really does. We're doing a lot. We're affecting gads of change. Of course, our goal is to end adult marijuana prohibition, but right now we think that medical marijuana is so important. It's the most substantial reform in marijuana laws in its history.
You mentioned some of the things coming down from the governor's office there, but there are a lot of elected officials in Oregon who back medical marijuana. Are you seeing the attitudes begin to shift with the mainstream politicians there as well?
You know, we have. We've actually seen a huge change. Some of our Republican politicians, legislators have really come around and seen the value, whereas they were hesitant before. Now they're saying, you know, this is really working. 14,000 plus patients, you know, 30% of those people have gardeners. And now, you know, last session we added, we have a patient who has a caregiver, and now we have a third entity, which is a grower, a person responsible for a growth site. So, you know, it's constantly evolving.
Madeline, it really seems as if the medical marijuana programs are going so smoothly there. Do you think this is a model other states might follow who don't have their own medical access laws yet?
I do. I do believe that. And, you know, I said to my colleagues in California and Washington that the protection that we have is we pay for this protection money. We actually pay the state of Oregon to protect us from the federal government, and that's exactly what it does. It buffers us with them. That's why we think it's more sensible, if we're going to go into dispensaries, and obviously we need to do a state garden, start there. So, you know, I think the state has a better chance against the feds than do really ill people.
So with a state garden, the state then has a much greater stake in the whole issue and thus could offer patients even greater protection.
I believe so, and I believe that this is the road to tax and regulate in the future. If we can see and the state can see that they've taken our money already and we can actually create revenue for just our program to begin with, and then they can see it in the larger picture that this is a financially soluble program and can move on to the next step. The next evolution would be tax and regulate.
Madeline, it's always such a great joy to have you here on the program. Thanks so much again for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris. Great job with the podcast.
Madeline Martinez is the executive director of Oregon Normal. You can visit their website at ornorml.org. Next up today, we've got some important news in Normal's weekly press release. So we're going to play our Normal News podcast today in the audio stash. Just a reminder that Normal News is available as a separate weekly podcast. Just snag the subscription up on iTunes or hook up at norml.org/podcast. National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is Normal News. I'm Chris Goldstein. Our stories today include FDA to rule on prescription use of controversial cannabinoid blocking agent, and San Diego supervisors to appeal Proposition 215 ruling. More information about these stories and membership in the Normal Foundation is available at norml.org. First today from New York City, New York. FDA to rule on prescription use of controversial cannabinoid blocking agent. U.S. regulatory authorities have announced that they will decide this spring on whether to approve the prescription use of the cannabinoid receptor antagonist, SR-141716A, to be marketed by Sanofi Aventis Pharmaceuticals as a diabetes treatment and anti-obesity drug under the trade name Acomplia or Rimonabant. In July, the selective cannabinoid blocking agent received regulatory approval in a handful of European nations as a dietary aid. Acomplia is the first cannabinoid antagonist ever to be approved for human consumption. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, will review newly revised clinical data indicating that Acomplia significantly lowers blood sugar levels in humans compared to placebo. The FDA had previously denied Sanofi permission to market Acomplia in the United States. In clinical trials, patients who take Acomplia on a daily basis lose on average 14 pounds in their first year and an additional 2.4 pounds their second year. However, published reports indicate that more than 15% of subjects who try the drug discontinue its use because of intolerable side effects, including nausea, anxiety, headaches, upper respiratory tract infections, and depression. At least one study reports a 2.7-fold increased risk of psychiatric disorders in Acomplia users. Acomplia works by blocking the natural binding of the endogenous cannabinoids, as well as exogenous cannabinoids such as THC, to the neuronal CB1 receptors, causing users to lose their appetites. Volunteers administered both Acomplia and cannabis in clinical trials also report decreased feelings of euphoria and other physiological effects associated with THC. However, because the endocannabinoid receptor system is believed to be involved in the regulation of a broad range of primary biological functions, including appetite, body temperature, mood regulation, blood pressure, bone density, reproduction, learning capacity, and motor coordination, some experts are concerned that the long-term use of Acomplia may eventually contribute to a host of significant adverse health effects. Quote, CB1 receptors commonly play protective roles in minimizing the consequences of free radical-induced age-related illnesses, as well as the aging process itself, close quote, says University of Colorado at Colorado Springs biology professor Dr. Robert Malamede. He continued, quote, the long-term use of CB1 antagonist drugs such as Acomplia may turn out to be disastrous because they may promote the illness that CB1 activity normally protects against, close quote. In preclinical trials, newborn mice injected with rimonabant refuse feeding and often die days after birth. Mice genetically bred to lack the CB1 receptor also suffer from numerous health defects, such as cognitive decline, hypoalgesia, decreased locomotor activity, and increased mortality compared to healthy controls. At least one published case study also reports that daily use of the drug may have triggered neurological symptoms of multiple sclerosis in a volunteer with no known history of the disease. According to Sanofi spokespersons, the FDA will make its determination by April 26th. Sanofi Aventis is the third largest pharmaceutical company in the world. For more information about this story, please contact Paul Armentano, Normal Senior Policy Analyst, at paul@normal.org or 202-483-5500. Next up today, from San Diego, California, San Diego's Supervisors to Appeal Proposition 215 ruling. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 this week to appeal a recent Superior Court decision, rejecting the county's challenge to California's medicinal cannabis laws. Last week, Superior Court Judge William Nevitt denied the county's lawsuit, which had argued that both Proposition 215 and the state's medical marijuana ID card program should be preempted by the Federal Controlled Substances Act. In his opinion, Nevitt declared that the state's decade-old medical marijuana law is legal because it does not, quote, require, close quote, conduct that violates federal law. Nevitt also rejected plaintiffs' challenge to California's 3-year-old medical ID card system, ruling that, quote, requiring the counties to issue identification cards for the purpose of identifying those whom California chooses not to arrest and prosecute for certain activities involving marijuana does not create a positive conflict with federal law, close quote. On Tuesday, San Diego's supervisors reaffirmed in a closed session vote that they believe California's medical marijuana laws promote drug abuse and should be superseded by federal law. They intend to file an appeal imminently with California's 4th Appellate District. Normal Executive Director Ellen St. Pierre strongly criticized the supervisors' decision.
This appeal is not about politicians seeking clarity in the law. It's about the supervisors' opposition to any use of medicinal cannabis. Legal experts, including California's Legislative Council, the State Attorney General, and now a Superior Court judge, have all determined that the physician-supervised medical use of marijuana is legal in the state of California. The supervisor's decision to appeal this case is an affront to their constituents and a gross waste of taxpayers' dollars.
San Diego's supervisors, along with lawmakers from San Bernardino and Merced counties, initially filed suit in February against the state of California and Normal's San Diego affiliate rather than comply with the statewide ID card program. Normal News from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. More information about the stories today and membership in the foundation is available at norml.org. You can catch our new daily podcast, Normal's Daily Audio Stash, at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned every week here for Normal News, right here on this station, your cell phone, computer, or iPod. I'm Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening. Cannabis, pot, reefer, bud, weed, marijuana. 97 million Americans have tried it. Maybe you have too. Over 750,000 Americans were arrested for marijuana-related offenses last year, almost 90% for simple possession, breaking families apart and sending otherwise law-abiding citizens to already overcrowded courts and jails. The war on drugs is really a war on good Americans who smoke pot. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, is the largest and most successful organization seeking to bring an end to marijuana prohibition, allowing essential medicine to reach patients and for regular Americans to enjoy a greater level of freedom. Join NORML to end marijuana prohibition. Just visit normal.org, that's NORML.org, or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL. That's 888-67-NORMAL. We have some music for you today here on the Audio Stash. We'll start out with Mikey Dread from the Prime of Mikey Dread album on Dread at the Controls Records. This was found up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance.
Special request. To all in the set, man behind bars. Musical team for Jaja, I'm a son of Mama Moon and Stars. Yeah.
That was Mikey Dread from the Prime of Mikey Dread album on the Dread at the Controls Records label, found up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. They've been forced to lie on applications, forego the health benefits of responsible marijuana use, or purchase life insurance products that did not require an application or a physical. If they were honest about their use of marijuana, they were either flat out declined or rated so high that they could not afford the coverage they needed. No longer. Recently, one of Normal's members contacted them with a problem. He was expanding his business and his bank was requiring additional life insurance. His local insurance agent had told him he simply had to quit smoking marijuana to get the coverage the bank was requiring. He didn't want to quit, and he wanted Normal's help. They contacted me, their insurance agent, and someone who was familiar with the insurance problems marijuana smokers face, and we both wanted to find a solution. I contacted my associate, Marvin Address, a nationwide expert in the area of life insurance, and we took on the challenge. Marvin was finally able to convince a carrier to underwrite the Normal member without the usual negative implications of marijuana use. The member not only received the coverage he needed, he was able to save additional money on the premiums he was paying for the coverage he already had in place. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. As a result of this occurrence, Normal, Marvin, and myself decided that the time was ripe to make traditional insurance products available to responsible smokers without the usual negative implication. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. I am hopeful that this program can be ultimately expanded to make available disability and health insurance products as well. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, or paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566. Challenging as it may be, Normal is a public interest organization working hard to both reform cannabis laws as well as providing valuable services to their membership and cannabis consumers all around the world.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.